Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Yud Dalid. We're in the middle of an exciting sugya on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of the sugya, so we'll just do a quick hagdama to remind us where we are in the Gemara. About halfway down the Amud on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Rav Menashe Bar Gada said in the name of Rav Huna, HaKoitzer L'Schach Ein Lo Yodois. What's the inyan of a yad? Without going through all the intricate halachas of yad, but yad basically means that if you have a stem which is attached to a food item, such as an apple or to tomatoes or grapes or whatever, because the person typically wants that stem to be there, so he should be able to hold the fruit with it, give it some greater degree of mobility and stability. So normally there's something known as a yad, which means that those stems, if they themselves touch a source of tumah, such as a nevela or a dead sheretz, although under normal circumstances they would not be mekabel tumah because these stems have no, they're not an ochel, they are not a kli, they're not an odom, there's no reason why they should be mekabel tumah, but they act as conductors of tumah. So that if the source of tumah, such as the nevela or dead sheretz, touches those stems, the stems are an extension cord, if you will, of the ochel, and the ochel will also become tamei. But we only say that if the person wants the yad to be there. Yad literally means a handle. So he wants a handle, a stem, to be attached to the fruit or the vegetables. But what happens if the person says, I don't need those yodos. They are just a waste of time and effort and energy. I have to remove them. I have to get them off. I have to throw them out. So then they are not considered to be conductors of tumah because I don't want this handle. And therefore it has no chashivas and it's garnished. So we had a Menashe Bar Gada Om Rav Huna said yesterday, HaKoitzel L'Schach, what happens if you go and take, for instance, kash? Kash is straw, and you use that for the top of your sukkah for schach, and it still has attached to it some of the original grain, some of the original tevua. I don't want that original grain and tevua. I don't need it. And therefore, ein lo yodos, if in fact one part becomes tamei, it does not conduct tumah to the other part because get rid of these yodos. I just want the kosher schach. I don't want the stems, I don't want the branches, I don't want, well, the branches I do want. In connection with, for instance, if we were using stems of fruit, such as the stems of the clusters of grapes, which I'm using for covering over my sukkah. So there I want the stems, but I don't want the fruit. So therefore I don't want them to act as a yad. Therefore, state in the Gemara says, Rav Huna says, Rav Menashe Bar Gada, Om Rav Huna, HaKoitzel L'Schach, Ein Lo Yodos. So that was the halach of yesterday. And then the Gemara brought a machloikis tanoim down below. What was the machloikis tanoim? We'll go to where it says Desanya. Desanya is about three quarters down the Amud. Desanya, the line begins Tanoihi, and then it says Desanya, and you see there's a small hey. What does it say in the Braise? Soichet te'enim uvehen te'enim. Parchilin uvehen anovim. Kashin uvehen shibolim. Machvedis uvehen temorim. You have over here a situation where you have branches from a fig tree with figs attached. You have the clusters of grapes, the stems of the grapes with grapes attached. You have the kashin, you have the straw, and you have shibolim, and you still have the kernels of wheat attached. Machbedus ben tomorrow, you have the branches of the palm tree, and you still have some dates attached. In all cases, says the Tanakama, in psoilus meruba ala oichlin ksheir, the word psoilus over here means the schach. If they are greater than the amount of the oichlin, then that's good, because then I have a majority of kosher. Schach, kosher. Imlav psula. All he needs is that the psoilus, that the kosher schach be meruba be roiv, compared to the ochlin. But look at the achirim. Achirim oimrim achiu kashim rubim al hayodos v'yalo oichlin. It's not enough that the kosher schach is roiv against the ochel. It also has to be roiv against the yodos. Ah, so what's the machloikis? My la b'hokim v'flegi de marsava yesh len yodos and marsava ein len yodos. The choy the machloikis is in this halacha of Ramanashe bar Gada. Ramanashe bar Gada said before, hakoyts leschach ein le yodos. Yodos are non-existent. That is the Tanakama. The Tanakama said the yodos don't exist, so I don't need the peir the schach to go and be the roif to mavatl those yodos. The yodos are not there. I don't want them. Get out of here. They are rejected, dejected, ejected. I don't want them. No chashivas. According to Achirim, no. There are yodos over here. And those yodos are not kosher for schach. If you want to go and have kosher schach, you have to go and have the roiv against both the yodos and the oichel. So, l'choye, we see the machlokes, yesh len yodos, ein len yodos. So, says the Gemara, no. So, kon zayin says, I'm skipping 2-3 lines. I'm down to Omlech Ramanashe, 6 lines from the bottom. No, the kuli alma savi akoyz eschach, ein lo yodos. Under normal circumstances, everybody agree there is no din of a yad by schach. So, ibazoi, why do the achirim require that the kosher schach be roiv not only against the oichim but also against the yodois? Says the Gemara of my cheskinon ki goin shekoytzen la'achila v'nimach aleihem l'sikuch. Initially, when he cut the branches for the te'enim and for the anovim and for the shibolim, he had intended doing it for achila, because he wanted to eat the grapes and he wanted to eat the figs and he wanted to use the grain. And therefore he wants the yodois. He wants those stems. And therefore they do act as conductors of tumah. And then after he had already cut them, he changed his mind. He said, you know what? It's almost Sukkot time. Forget about the grapes. I need schach. The bamboo store is out of bamboo. I'm going to use this for schach. Ah, and therefore, since initially when he cut them, he had in mind for an ochel, they retain their status as yodos. Frankie Mara, he cut them lachila, my tamay the rabbanan. So why the rabbanan say there is no din of yodos? After all, he had in mind for achila. They do have a din of yad. Where does that din of yad go away? Where does it go poof? Bachitayim, because have a rabbanan keep the mechaleim. Let's seekoch batle machshav toy. Maybe the reason why the Chachamim hold that there is no Yad over here is because he changed his mind. I don't want them for food. I want these stems. I want them now for purposes of Schach. And therefore his new intentions perhaps wipe out the earlier intentions that he wanted it for a Yad. But that would mean that a machshava is coming to be mevatel his original machshava. Umi batli machshava b'hachi. Can you be mevatel a machshava with a machshava? But now we learn the gabe kelim top of yud dalet omet aleph. Yordan le tumah b'machshava vein oilu mitamosim ela b'shina maisa. That when it comes to kelim, they are susceptible to tumah b'machshava. What does that mean? So we gave the example that Rashi gives at the top of the Amud. For instance, a tanner had been working on a cow hide or a hide of a different animal, and he is processing it into leather. Now, if he wanted to, he could just use the finished product of this nicely tanned leather to use as a tablecloth, to use as a bedspread, to use as a mat on the floor, and that would be totally acceptable. And if that is his machshava, as soon as it becomes a final product, a finished product of a tablecloth, bedspread, mat, then it's makabel tumah, because he had that machshava. What happens if afterwards he decides, you know what, if I sell this as a bedspread, I can go and make on it $25. However, if I convert this into shoes, then I can make on it $100. So, you know what? I changed my mind. I don't want to use it anymore for a bedspread. I'm going to use it now for shoes. Will the machshava, this new machshava, take away the previous susceptibility to tumah? Says the Mishnah, V'ein oilem mitamasan ela b'shinei maisa. If you don't want this hide, this piece of leather, to be susceptible to tumah, you know what you got to do? Having another machshava doesn't do it. you have to do a shini maisa. Shini maisa would mean that you now go and take your knife, your razor blade, and start inserting it into this tablecloth, into this bedspread, to show, I don't want it anymore for a tablecloth or a bedspread. I want it now for shoes. If you do a shini maisa, that changes the whole complexion, and now it will no longer be susceptible to tumah until you have a new finished product, in other words, the shoes. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Maisa moitzvah that Maisa umiyad machshava. A brand new Maisa can take away from an old Maisa and from an old machshava. But machshava ain't moitzvah umiyad Maisa v'lo umiyad machshava. So bottom line is, having a new machshava is not strong enough to take away the susceptibility to tumah. And if that's the case, says the Gemara, I don't understand the teretz that the Gemara gave on the Amud Beis. Because we're talking about this schach, to which is attached these peiros. Originally, he wanted the peiros, and therefore, the schach and the yad acted as a yad, as a conductor of tumah. And now you're telling me he changed his mind, he wants to use it for schach. Shkoyach, he wanted to change his mind, but he didn't do a maisa, he only did a machshava. And a machshava is not moitzi miyad, machshava not miyad, maisa. Now remember, we're talking about here ochlin, food items. The Mishnah that we just quoted from the bottom of the Yom, they're talking about kelim. Maybe kelim are different than ochlin. By kelim, if you want to take away its susceptibility to tumah, then you have to do a maisa. But when you're talking about food items, maybe machshav is enough. Frank Yimra Batanan, but we have in the Mishnah. Kol yodoy so oichlin shebisison big goyren to hoyreis. Vrabyoisi metama. Kol yodoy so oichlin, that's what we're talking about, the stems which are attached to the oichlin. Shebisison. What exactly does bisison mean? We'll see momentarily. The goren in the granary. Granary is where they used to thresh out the tvua to go and divide between the grain and the those things that you reject, like the chaff and the straw and the hay, things that you don't need. That's what they did in the granaries. So if you're bisison, if you did the maisa bisison, we'll see again what that means. Tahoyrois, from that point on, the yodois are no longer conductors of tumah, they're now tohar. Because by doing the besisa, you are rejecting them, saying, I don't want these yodois, I don't need them as a handle, I don't need them as a stem, and therefore they no longer conduct tumah. Rabbi Yosef disagrees, and they still are metame. So, if you are vishlan laman diyomer bisison, hitir agudon shapir. And laman diyomer, my bisison, mamish, my yiklamemer. So what the Gemara is telling us is that there's a machloikis, we'll see shortly in the Gemara, there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and his Talmud Rebbe Lozar, what the definition of bisison means. According to the first man, Yama bisison means to just open up the pekel, meaning to go and transfer all of the grain in their unprocessed fashion to the goyden, to the granary. I can take each one individually. I made these large bundles, and I transported them as bundles. When I got to the granary, what do? I put them down on the floor, and then hiter agudon, I open up the bundles. Says one man diyamar that the word bisison means just opening up bundles. With that already, the yodois are no longer conductors of tumah. Even though I didn't do anything to the yodois, I didn't do anything to the grain, I just opened up the bundles. That's already enough to take away the status of a yad. Rashi says that just undoing an igud, opening up the bundles, is not considered a maisa. It's considered to be a machshava bi'alma. The reason why it's not considered to be a maisa, explain the mafarshim, because I've not done anything with the tvua itself. I've done nothing with the stems. I've done nothing with the grain, with the chaff, with the hay. All I've done is open up the bundle. That's considered to be such a weak maisa that it has a status like a machshava ba'alma. Ah, so says the Gemara, if that's the pshat according to that man diyoma, then shapir, then we have a good answer to our question. Because we see, in fact, that ochlin are different than kelim. Ochen, to lose the status of a yad, you know what you gotta do? You just need a machshava. You don't need a maisa. Also, it's very good that the Rabbanan said that we started off with the stems and the branches together with the fruit. It was originally cut for purposes of eating. After that, we changed our minds. We want to use it for schach. So we said, yeah, but where does the status of yodis go away? His original machshava was for food, so the yodis should be conductors of tumah. The answer is, according to Manyama, that holds bisson is hitter agudon, which is just a machshava is enough to take away the status of yodis. Here too, he didn't do a maisa. He just had a machshava. The machshava was, I don't want the fruit anymore. I want the schach. Showing that's enough to take away the status of yodis. Bisison mamish. That what means bisison? That means that you go and beat it. In other words, you brought the grain with the chaff and the hay to the granary, and now in order to go and take the chaff off of the grain, you start beating it. No, so that requires then a maisa to make it tahar. Right, because you did a ma'isa besisa met a ma'isa. So ma'ikanamayimers. In our case of the schach, how did the schach lose? How did the yodayim, the yodois, lose their status of yodois? After all, there was only a ma'isa here. I'm sorry, there was only a machshava here. Every marachanamish and bisison mamish. Our case is also a bisison mamish, meaning that after he originally had taken these branches with the fruits and with the stems and with the all the additions, when he changed his mind to use it now for schach, guess what? He in fact beat the tvua to get some of the tvua out, so that we'd have just the remaining chaff and hay and straw to use for the schach. So in fact he did a maisa, and that's why the Tanakhama says, although until a few minutes ago it had yodois which were conductors of tumah, but now he gave it a few pech, he beat it a few times, so then that din of yodois went away. So if that's the case, we've answered our question. It's talking about that he did a maisa. But pretty more, if that's the case, after all, the Achirim disagree, and the Achirim say, no, you still have to go and be mevatel with roiv schach. You have to mevatel these yodos. We just said now that the yodos went puff because I did a maisa. He holds tak like Rabbi Yosi. That was Rabbi Yosi in the parentheses. That not Rabbi Yosi matame. Oh, Rabbi Yosi holds it even after the bisason. It still remains tamei. Why does the taka hold that way? The Gemara is going to explain right now. You know why Rabbi Yosi says it even after the beating? The person, the straw, which is attached to the grain, is still called a yad. You know why? Because chazia, it's still ro'ui for a purpose. It still has, although my principal design, my principal intention was to get rid of them, I don't need them, but back of my mind, I would still like this straw to be attached to the grain when I leave the granary. Why would I still want it to be attached? So Timura, which means, when you put the grain down on the floor, and you're doing the threshing, you've done the top. What about the bottom of the grain? And therefore you have to go and turn the grain over at least once, and perhaps many times, with an asar. Asar is a pitchfork. Now, if you've ever seen a pitchfork is similar to our small forks, however, it's a huge fork, and the space between the teeth of the fork are huge spaces. And therefore, it's beneficial to have a large mass to be able to pick it up and turn it over and put it down on the other side. So if you don't have the chaff anymore, and you've beaten it to the pulp so that there's nothing left, and it's no longer attached to the tvua, then it's going to be very difficult to go and turn the grain upside down, because it might easily fall through the cracks, slip through the cracks of the pitchfork. So as long as it's still attached to the hay and the straw and all that, he's very happy. So even though he's beaten it, Rashi says the reason why he beat it, so that now it should be softer and weaker and more easy to remove, but Lamaisi is still happy that it's attached. And that's why, says Rabbi Yossi, it still has a din of a yad, even after the beating on the granary floor. In our case, why would he need the yad attached to the tefuah, to attach to the schach? He only wants the pure schach. As far as he's concerned, take off everything else. So even Rabbi Yossi Lechoyre should say that there's no longer a yad because he wants to remove anything and everything which is attached to the schach. Says Yimar, no. Chazia lechi. What does that mean? So Rashi explains that throughout Sukkos, in fact, you're right. He doesn't need anything attached to the schach, he just needs the schach itself. However, when Yom Tov is going to be over, at that point he's going to want to put it back into storage for another year, or at least he's going to want it to make it easier to roll up and remove from the top of the schach. Therefore, the more that you have still attached these yodois, it'll be easier to go and turn it and hold it and tie it into bundles and to remove it. So he does want the yad altogether. After all, according to Reb Yossi over here, in this case of the Bisson Begoyrim, and the case of the Acherim of our Mishnah that we had on the Amid Beis, the Brais that we had on the Amid Beis. Zogt die Gemara. So we're up to now Gufa. So with this we have concluded the initial discussion. I think somebody, Brother Shai, or somebody else seems to have a question. But with this we've concluded the initial discussion about the Yodois, where we were asking why is there machlokes between the Tanakama and between the Acherim? And so the answer is because either it's talking about, well, it's the way the Gemara told us, it's talking about that he originally wanted this for an oichel, and therefore originally it was yodois, and then after that he changed his mind, and he wants it now for schach. So according to the Tanakama, machshava alone is enough. According to the mandiyama that holds besisa is just opening up the ties. According to the other mandiyama that you have to bisson mamish with an actual maisa, he had a maisa, because here too he did bisson mamish. And according to the Acherim hold like Rabbi Yossi, that Sai in the case of Machshava, he says Machshava is not enough to be Mevatel, the original Machshava. And in terms of the Bissan Mamish, even though Itaka beat it, but he doesn't mean with that beating to remove the Yodos altogether. Because in fact, at the end of Yom Tov, he will want those Yodos to be able to go and collect the Schach together and move it away. Brother Shai, if somebody else has a question?
So he initially was, so are we also talking about grapes here, or this is only
shibolim? We're talking about all the cases.
Going right, we're talking about cases. So grapes, we always said that nobody wants it. I mean, I guess he's maybe eating it for playing grapes, not for the gods, not for the.
Correct. According to Mark. He originally wanted to eat the grapes, and then after that he realized, I have all of these wonderful stems here and branches and vines, I can use it for the top of my schach, for my top of my sukkah, and he changed his mind.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, now from here, Gufa, the Gemara is just basically repeating what we said a moment ago. Gufa called Yodis or Oichlin Shabisison Begoyden Tahoyrois. The Tanakama in this Mishnah says that Yodois Shabisison, remember Bisison is a machloikis, we'll see again what the machloikis is and again in a moment, but as a result of the Besisa, Tahoyrois, those Yodois are no longer conductors of Tumah. Rabbi Yossi Matama, Rabbi Yossi said, no, they still conduct Tumah. My Bisison, what's the definition of Bisison? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Bisison Mamish, that he beat it. Rabloza Oimer, Hitter Ogdan, Bisson means that he untied the aguda, the peckle. The reason why Bisson means Hitter Ogdan according to Rabloza, so Rashi says, it reminds us of the Haggadah that we have on Seder night. Because we say on Seder night, Mispoiseses Bidamoyich, So it says mispoisesis. What means mispoisesis? Rashi says miskoilelis. They were kind of soaking or wandering in the waiting in the blood. See, here too, the waiting means that the blood is kind of moving and the person is being mispoisesis. He's waiting in the blood. Here too, by opening up the bundles, by removing the ties, also the shibalim are now mizgolin begoyrin. Now all of the tvua that was previously nicely bundled now also kind of rolls out of the bundle and scatters onto the floor of the granary. So that's why the word mispoisesis means to be matir ugdar. The other man, the yama, that holds that it means bisson mamish, he brings a raya from a pasuk in Tehillim, b'shimcha novus kamenu. And another pasuk in Yermia, boisesu es chelkosi. The word boises over there means to go and to thresh and to beat and to hit it. So anyway, yama machloik is there for what the definition of bisson is. Getting back to the Gemara, Bishloim el Rebbe Lozer, the Amr Bissasan Hiter Ogdan, according to that man, the Amr that says Bissasan just means to open up the bundle, Hayadim Tamei Rabbi Yossi. That's why Rabbi Yossi says it continues to be Tamei, because he didn't do a real Maisa. He only did a Machshav. And therefore Rabbi Yossi says it still retains its Din of Yodais. El Rabbi Yossi, the Amr Bissan Mamish, Amai Metamei Rabbi Yossi. Why would he be Metamei? After all, he beat it. And therefore, presumably, he doesn't want the chaff, the hay, the straw anymore. So if that's the case, he shouldn't have a din of a yad. No, he does want it because as a result of having this larger mass, when the person is going to want to turn over the grain in the granary with a pitchfork, it'll be easier if you still have the yodis attached. Masha enkein, if they're not attached, the grain will easily slip through the large teeth of the pitchfork. Now, since we mentioned the word asar, which is a pitchfork, so therefore the Gemara now brings a shtickle agarata, which I believe Rashi brings in Chumash as well, and this is the famous story of Yitzchak and Rivka, where Rivka initially was barren, she had no children, and it says in the pasuk, "Vayetar Yitzchak laHashem lenochach ishtoi." The word v'yatar literally means to plead and to urge and to be a mavakish Hashem, Rabbeinu Shalom, I ask you from the depth of my heart, please give us a child. That's the lashon of v'yatar or v'yayoser. How is that related to atar of our Gemara? So Amar Blazer, lama nimshala tefilasim shal sadikim ke'asar, why is the Tefillah of the Tzaddikim of Yitzchak and Rivka compared to Vayetar, to a pitchfork. Just like a pitchfork can go and transfer and turn over the Tvua from one place to the other. There's another Girsa, Mamidas Ragzonios, Mamidas Rachmanis. When Chas V'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset and angry, and therefore there's the Midah of Gevura, if you want to go and be Mahapachit to the Midah of Rachmanis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy, then you have the Tefillah Shel Tzadikim that acts like an Atar, that it can go and turn over the whole situation from top to bottom. Just like it can turn over the Tvua, the Tefillah of Tzadikim can go and turn Hashem's intentions from X to Z, or A to B, or whatever the metaphor you want to use, it could turn it upside down, and Kadosh Baruch Hu will become a Rachman, and therefore he gave children to Yitzchak and to Rivka.
Okay. For example, he had grain, and he had a straw. He got rid of the. He took the. I assume he already winnowed away the grain. So all you have left is this kash on the floor. So why would there be grain still on the floor? He's already piled up the grain, I assume. This was what was left over. So what is he? Normally you use a pitchfork now just to get rid of the grain. You want to shovel out the grain and put it in a pile for straw or whatever. What's the Mitzvah?
My assumption is that when you put the grain down on the floor, it still has all of its impurities attached to it, whether it's chaff, whether it's hay, whether it's straw. And to get rid of it, you have to have the threshing of the animals or of the people that step on it and beat it. And then after you've done that, you have to turn it over to take the chaff and the straw from the other side. Because the kernel of wheat or grain, which is embedded within the chaff, is embedded in all sides. So just threshing it from one side will loosen up and soften the outside chaff that eventually it'll come off. But I still have to work on the other side of the grain, which still has the enclosure from the other side. So I take the pitchfork, turn it upside down, and then I further do the threshing, and then presumably at this point, everything now becomes removable. And therefore, our Gemara is telling us that if you no longer had any impurities attached to the grain, then you wouldn't be able to turn it over. So even though I don't want those impurities, but in the back of my mind, to a certain extent, I still want them for purposes of being able to turn them over with the pitchfork, because otherwise they would just slip through the cracks. Zog the Mishnah. This is a question, if you recall, Phil asked a couple of days ago. And that is, instead of putting bamboo sticks, why don't we just go and put boards on the top of the sukkah? Because after all, a board is by definition a pshuta kliyetz. Pshuta kliyetz and not mekabel tumah. So the choyre, that should be fine. Use that as your schach. And that's going to be now the focus of the Mishnah and of the Gemara. Says the Mishnah, Mesachin ben Asarim. Go and put up, you can use schach from Nasarim from boards. Just take boards of wood. Just like today, they have what they call 2x4s. So get a piece of lumber, a piece of a board, which is 2x4 or 4x4 or whatever the shear is, and put it on top of the sukkah. Says Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, that works. Put a board on top of the sukkah, the Rabbi Yehuda. For Meir, always Rabbi Meir says, no good, no, you cannot. Well, why does Rabbi Meir hold that way? We'll see in the Gemara in a moment what the svara of Rabbi Meir. Nosan aleha nasar, shurochav arba tefachim. What happens if you put a board on top of the sukkah, which had a width of 4 tefachim? It's ksherit. That's kosher. Ubavan shalishim tachtav. But don't sleep under it. Why? Because apparently it's not kosher. And the Gemara is going to ask, isn't that a stira? Here you're saying that it's a kosher piece of schach, and then you say, but don't sleep under it. Apparently it's not a kosher piece of schach. And another question is, who is the mandiyama? Who says this, that Nosan Aleha Nasar is ksheira? Didn't Rav Meir say a moment ago, oiser, that it's not kosher? So is this only Rabbi Yehuda speaking? Why? What are we adding to Rabbi Yehuda? Anyway, all of this hopefully will become clear as we go through the Gemara. Zok Gemara. Amar Rav. We have now a fundamental machleket between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, machleket ben asarim sheyesh ben arbo. We're talking about nasarim that have a width of 4 tvachim. That are made isle gezeiras tikra, but Rabbi Yehuda less le gezeiras tikra. Because Rabbi Meir holds that there is a gezeira of tikra. What means a gezeira of tikra? Says Rashi. Although intrinsically, inherently, there's no problem with boards. Boards are not mekabel tumah. When we say boards, we mean lumber. No problem. It's not mekabel tumah. It's flat. Pshuta kliyetz. But there's a problem. When I go and build my house, and I have the contractor putting in all of the beams and the boards, guess what? On the ceiling, he's also putting in boards. If I'm going to put boards on the top of my sukkah, which are identical to the boards that I put on top of my roof, on top of my ceiling, in my dining room, in my living room, then I can go and say, you know what? Why do I have to go for the next 7 days and eat and sleep in that sukkah outside that has boards on the roof? Guess what? Look at my ceiling. I have the same boards. The same contractor who supplied me with the boards of my ceiling, he supplied me with the boards for my sukkah. What's the difference? Manishtana. And therefore people are not going to go out into these temporary huts, which we call sukkahs. They'll say, I'm going to stay at home, and I'm going to look at the schach. I have the same board. What do I have to go outside? Stay at home. I got plenty of beautiful boards on top. Now, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, the standard size of boards in those days was, in fact, 4 tefachim wide. Just like when it says today about plywood or about other types of building material, you talk about a 2x4. There they had a 4 tefachim width nasar. That was the standard size, the standard usage. And therefore, it says the Gemara, says Rav, the machlokes in nasarim sheyesh ben abod, that's the standard size board. The Rav Meir isle gzeiros tikra. I have the gzeira that we just spoke about, that a person will say, let me stay home, where do I have to go into the sukkah? I have the same boards in my ceiling. Rav Yehuda isle gzeiros tikra. Rav Yehuda says, nah, there is no such gzeira, I don't believe in it. The chacham would not go there, and therefore, it's kosher for a sukkah. If it's less than 4, then everybody would agree that it's kosher. And the reason is, explains Rashi, because it's no longer a standard size. The standard size of the boards that they used in the ceilings by Yom and Mahain was 4 tefachim wide. If it was only 2 or 3, a very rare homeowner used those types of boards. Yes, not that they weren't available at all, but you know, only 5 or 10% of the people use it. And so therefore we would not go there at all according to anybody, and therefore those would be acceptable on the top of a sukkah. So according to Rav, if you used a neser, a board that was only 1 or 2 tefachim wide, 3 tefachim wide, no problem, kosher l'chachal. Ushmul amar, b'she'im ben arbo machlok, the machlok is dafka when they do not have a width of arbo. If they have a width of arbo, because everybody agrees to this gzeiras tikra. It's only when it's less than arbo, then there's a machloikis. When the Tanna Kamma says, where Rabbi Huda says, if they're less than 4, then there's no gzeiras tikra. Nobody, I wouldn't say nobody, but only a very small percentage of people use nasorim, which are 2 or 3 tefachim wide, and therefore there's no reason to be gozer. Why is Rav Meir Goyzer? Very few people use those types of nasorim which are less than 4, says Rashi, and I'm sure Barry is already thinking to himself. The reason is because Rav Meir is chayish lemiyuta. So even though only a small percentage of people use boards which are 2 tvachim, 3 tvachim, 3.5 tvachim, it makes no difference. Since some people use them, they are osir. But before we get to the extreme and say, according to the mayor, that anything less than any board, whether it even happens to be 1 inch, 2 inches, 3 inches, 1 tefach, 2 tefachim, the Gemara says, one second. Frank Gemara, are you telling me, ein behen arba'ah, vafilo pachos mishloisha? If it's less than 4 tvachim, and even less than 3 tvachim, and even 2 tvachim, you're going to tell me all of these boards are possible for a sukkah? At some point they become as thin as a reed, or they become thin like just a piece of wood. You're going to tell me every single piece of wood is going to be also if it's all less than 4 tvachim? Is that possible? Can't be. Come on. Apparently, in the times of Chazal, they didn't have bamboo sticks like we have today. And so therefore, they in fact did use thin boards. Thin boards of only 1 inch or 2 inches for their sukkah. You're telling me even those are possible? I mean, that's everybody uses those. That's standard. Well, what's going on? Omra papa. Hachi kamar. We have to add a little bit of explanation to Shmuel. If it's four or more, everybody holds its possible because of Gzeiras Tikra. It looks just like the board in my house. If it's less than 3, my time those are just shtekelach, just sticks. Those are certainly good for schach according to everybody. Keep link with machloikim mishloisha ad arba from 3 tvachim up to 4. In other words, starting from 3.1 to 3.99, we have a machloikis. Maris avikim the less nu shir mokim leigazrina. Since they're less than 4, they don't have a chashivas of mokim. What means a chashivas of mokim? So you remember we had this a few days ago in the Gemara, and Rashi again repeats that in Mesechtes Shabbos, Mesechtes Erevin, the minimum shir of a mokim chashiv was 4 by 4 tvachim. Since these pieces of wood are less than 4, we're not goyzer, the din doesn't apply. Omar Savikin Rafkin, Victorious Lovid, since it's more than 3, oh, Hatshana Hashivas, Lovid would mean that you just merge and fuse when you have an empty space. So less than 3, you could deem these boards as if they were empty spaces, so to speak. Since it's more than 3, it goes out of the Torah's love, but it has a chashivos, and therefore, Gozrin, we are Gozer after all. So bottom line is, we have a machloikis pshat in the Mishnah. We start off the Mishnah again. Mesachim ben Asarim div Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says you can use boards. Rav Meir says Osir, you cannot use boards. We have machloikis what the size of the boards that we're talking about. Where according to Rav, the machloikis is by boards that have four. Rav Yehuda says, I don't care that they have four. I don't care that you use it in your ceiling, in your dining room at home. I don't hold of the Gzeiras Tikra. And Rav Meir says, no, I do hold of the Gzeiras Tikra. And therefore, it's talking about four, the four Tvachim. If it's less than four Tvachim, says Rav, everybody agrees and nothing to talk about. It's Kusha V'yushim, Kosher L'chadchila, Glad Kosher, no problem. While Shmuel said, no, it's the other way around. If it happens to be four tefachim wide, then everybody, even Rabbi Yehuda, would agree that it's possible for a schach. The machloikis is if it's less than four, but not anything less than four, between three and four. Where according to Rabbi Yehuda, between three and four is fine, you can be mesachich, and according to the mayor, you cannot use it for schach. So now let's look at the second part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah, Nosan Aleha, Nasa Shu Rochav, Arba'a Tfachim. It is four Tfachim wide. It's kosher. Ubavad Shalishin Tachto. But just don't sleep. So it's more Tana, Nosan Aleha, Nasa Shu Rochav, Arba'a Tfachim, Ksheir Ubavad Shalishin Tachto, Bishloim and Lishmua. The Omer Bishayin Ben Arba'a Machloikis. The Machloikis of our Mishnah is when there is no width of four. Am Yesh Ben Arba'a, but if there's a width of four, the Riyakol Psul, everybody agrees it's possible. Since it's four, that's why it says in the Mishnah, don't go and sleep under it. It's four tefachim wide, and therefore the schach is possible. If the schach is possible, then why do we say in the Mishnah that the sukkah is kosher? According to everybody, it should be possible. I have four tefachim of possible schach. Says Rashi, it's talking about that possible schach, that Nasser was close to one of the walls. And we have that famous rule that we've been speaking about a number of times already, the din of Doifen Akuma, where Doifen Akuma tells you that if you have Pasul Eschach at the top of your roof of your sukkah, if it's right next to the wall, instead of saying that the sukkah is Pasul, I can deem that piece of Pasul Eschach to be an extension of the wall, and even though the wall, of course, is vertical, the schach is horizontal. That's the concept of doifen akuma. It's as if I have a kruma wall, a wall that is bent over, hunchbacked, on top of the sukkah, and therefore the sukkah is kosher, but that piece of four tefachim is posel, and even though now it's a kosher wall, but you cannot sleep under a wall, you gotta sleep under schach. And therefore, don't sleep there under that schach, because you're sleeping under a wall. So then that makes perfect sense why the Mishnah says that everybody would agree that it's possible, because that's what Shmuel holds. B'sheyesh ben arba, we're talking about a nasa of arba, it's possible. Don't sleep under it. So when it comes to yesh ben arba, these are machloikis. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to go and use this Nasser, the Chatchila, it's kosher schach. Rabbi Yehuda, my Leishan Tachtov, why can't you sleep under it? It's beautiful, wonderful schach, it's kosher. Says Yimar, Misabas to be a koili, Seifa son, Rabbi Meir. Enochanami, according to Rav, we will have to say that the second part of the Mishnah is a continuation of Rameir. That Rameir says, Rameir oiser, and Rameir now adds, that Nosan Lea Nasr of Rochav Arba Tfachim, which is non-kosher schach, the sukkah will be kosher because of Doifen Akuma, but don't sleep under it. According to Rebuda, Rebuda says, ah, no problem, you can sleep lechatchil, it's kosher v'yusha, no problem. Okay. Zokti Mar Toshima. Let's try to bring a raya now from another brisa. What does it say in the brisa? Zokti Gemara Shnei Sadinim Mitztarfin. Remember, we've had Sadinim before. A Sadin is considered to be a Dover, which is Mekabel Tumah, because it's a Beged. And therefore, if you had one Sadin, for instance, which was two Tvachim, and then you had another Sadin, which was another two Tvachim, so you add 2 plus 2 and you get 4, Shnei Sadinim Mitztarfin, to passel this the sukkah, because they have schach possible. On the other hand, says the Tanna Kamma, Nei Nasarin, if I had two shtekelach, two boards, which were less than four tvachim, for instance, they were 3.1 tvachim each, so each one of them, since they happen to be three tvachim, if I add the two together, says the Tanna Kamma, ein mitztarfin, because the Tanna Kamma says Rashi is Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda says, any board which is less than four, you can use it even to go and put up schach for the entire sukkah. No problem. These are kosher lechatchila. Remeir oimer af nasarim kesedinim, no nasarim do, are just like sedinim, and they are mitztarif, and if you put two nasarim together, one being 3.1 tefach, and the other one being 3.1 tefach, you put them together, I have now more than four tefachim of posel eschach, and the whole thing is posel. Says Yimar, let's understand this. Bishlam l'shmul di amr b'sheim ben abo machlokis, av yesh ben abo de rekel psulo. According to the man di amr, according to Shmuel, that says the machlokis is if they're less than four. Remember, that means 3.1 up to 3.9. That's where the machlokes is. But if it has arba, everybody holds this possible because of Gzeiras Tikra. My mitztarfin, what does Remeir mean when he says that the Nasarim are mitztarfin kisadinim? They mitztarfin arba to the minimum shear of the four tvach. Meaning that Remeir holds that were you to use just one Nasar of 3.1, okay, that would not passel the whole sukkah. But if I go and put multiple ones together, then I'm passeling the sukkah. Because nasar mitzdarf and larbo'o. And that's the reason why Remeir says they're mitzdarf. According to Rav, that less than four, everybody holds its kosher. Hey, chidomi. So then what is this machloikis or Yehuda and Remeir in the Mishnah, in this Braisa? If it has four tfachim, lamalut tzirufe. So what do I need to come on to the din of tziruf? If it's four tfachim on its own. Remember, it just says in this Braisa, af nasarim kisadinin. But it doesn't tell us what the width of the nasarim was. So if I'm telling you that the nasarim were a case of arba, then what do you need tziruf for? Then, according to Rav, that's the reason why the Tanna Kamma of Yehuda says, ain't mitzdarf and they're kosher, and according to Remeir, they're mitzdarf and that they're non-kosher, because it's arba. See, if it's talking about arba, why do I have to say that Nasorin are like Sadinin, that they're mitzdarf, even if they're not like Sadinin? The reason why they're possible is because a Nasr of four Tvachim is possible. Elamai, either less more about, if they didn't have four tvachim, amai, but konim ba'almaninu. If you're just putting together small pieces of two tvachim and you're adding another two tvachim, then they're just like sticks, which are kosher for a sukkah. Because Rav said, ein ben abo deviya kol ksheira. If it's less than four, everybody agrees it's kosher. So I'm going to put up one board of two and another board of two, another board of two, another board of two. Why should they go mitzdarif? They're only shteklech which are kosher. Says his mother, oilam de ispo abba. Talking about that it did have arba. No, if it did have arba, why did the mayor say it's mitzdarif? Like sadinin. My mitzdarif and mitzdarif on the arba ames men hatzad. Ah. We're talking about that this nasir was on the side of the schach. It was right next to one of the walls, and therefore that four tvachim, according to Remeir, is no good, but it doesn't pass the sukkah. When would it pass the sukkah if you had four tvachim of posel eschach, the emtza? However, since it's next to a wall, I have the principle of the doifen akuma, and therefore, if you only have that one board of four tvachim alone, that would be subsumed in Doifan Akuma, which is four amois, and it would be kosher. But what happens if I have other posel eschach, other such boards, where if you add this board of four tvachim, you're going to have four amois altogether? Four amois already goes beyond the pale of the Doifan Akuma, and it's going to posel the sukkah. Doifan Akuma is up to 3.999 amois. Once you hit four amois, Stoif and Akuma no longer applies, and it becomes possible. And therefore, when Rebbe Meir said that Masorim are Mitzarif, we're talking about four Tefach types of Masorim, which are Mitzarif to other non-kosher Schach, that if you get to four Amas or more, that's going to pass the Sukkah, because you won't have the benefit of Doif and Akuma. Now that was one Lashon. Lishnachrin is similar. Is Bishlam and Shmuel the Omar. B'she'ein ben arba'a machloikis, according to Shmuel says, that the machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda is when it's less than four. Aviyesh ben arba'a. But if it has four, divya kol psul, everybody agrees it's possible. My mitztarfin. What does it mean when we say in this price, according to Reb Meir, it's mitztarf? Mitztarfin li arba amais menatzat. Like we just finished a moment ago, that if you have a board of four, which divya kol psula, if you have that on the side, then it's going to be mitzarif to arba amas to go and make it possible. It's going to go and make it possible. Chorib Gemara is a bissel shver, because if you're telling me that it's four tvachim and then it's therefore it's mitzarif to arba amas menatzad, according to Shmuel, b'yesh ben abo divya kol psula, it shouldn't only be Reb Meir that says it's mitzarif. Even Reb Yehuda should hold that it's mitzarif. So in fact, there's a Poiras Yosef at the back of the Gemara, which says that there seems to be a printing mistake. When it says mitztarfin, it doesn't mean mitztarfin arba amis menatzad, it means mitztarfin li arba tvachim bi emtsa hasukkah. If you have four tvachim, arba'a tvachim of pasul eschach, then it passes the sukkah. And therefore, we're talking about that it was ein behen arba'a, where there is the machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, and that's when Reb Meir says, oh, you only have two, three tvachim, add another two, three tvachim, you're going to have now more than four tvachim in the middle of the sukkah, and that's going to passel the sukkah. That's not literally two tvachim, because remember, according to Shmuel, two tvachim is just kanan ba'alma. It means it has to be at least 3.1. So if you have 3.1 plus 3.1, we have already more than four tvachim of non-kosher schach, and that's going to passel the sukkah. El Rav. Bishlam Reb Meir, my mitzvah. Remember, what did Rav hold? Rav holds b'shiyesh ben arba'a machloikis. Avol ein ben arba'a divya kol k'sheira. Okay, so what's the halacha? Is Bishlam Reb Meir, my mitzvah and the arba amas menatzad. Oh, that's like we said in the previous lashon, that if you, even though each one of them is arba'a tfachim, where there's the machloikis between Reb Meir and between Reb Yehuda. What does Reb Meir mean when he says mitztarfin mitztarfin? After all, if it's four tfachim, I don't need tziruf. The reason why it's possible is because four tfachim is possible, according to Reb Meir. Elamai, the tziruf is the arba amas menatzad, that it's on the side of the sukkah. And as we said before, if you add another 3.6 amos of non-kosher schach, those 3.6 together with these four tvachim of bad nasarim, it'll be mitzarif to the arba amas menatzad, and as a result, I'm going to have a full-fledged non-kosher sukkah, because doif and akuma goes up to 3.99, and here it's four amas or more. El Reb Yehuda di Amar afili yesh ben abba k'sheira. When Reb Yehuda says that even if it has more than four, it's kosher. Or I shouldn't say more than four. Afili yesh ben abba, even if the size of each nasar, each one of these boards, is four tvachim, it's kosher. My ein mitztarfin. Why does Reb Yehuda say that the top of the omid, the top line, shnei nasarim, ein mitztarfin, he should say konim ba'almaninu. He should go and say that these are wonderful boards, and you're lechatchila allowed to go and use them for the top of your sukkah. What is the ein mitztarfin? Every the Gemara, I did the Omer of Meir, mitztarfin, Omer of Yehuda, ein mitztarfin. You're right, as far as Reb Yehuda is concerned, boards of four are kosher lechatchila. There's no problem with them whatsoever. The reason why he uses the term ein mitztarfin is because Reb Meir said they are a mitztarif, that they are, they pass the sukkah, says Reb Yehuda, they don't pass the sukkah, they're fine, these are great boards, you can use them for your schach. So bottom line is, we had a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, we asked kashas from our Mishnah, we had kashas from our Braisa, and now we're going to bring rayas to each one. Tani kavasi de Rav, Tani kavasi de Shmuel, Tani kavasi de Rav. Now remember, what did Rav say? Rav says the machlokes is b'shiyesh Bohen arbo'o machlekes. But ein bohen arbo'o dibi akoil, it's kosher. So let's see what does the Braise say. Tanik was in the Rav. Sochecha ben asorim shel erez. He used boards made out of cedar. She'ein ben arbo'o, if they are not four wide. Divrei hakoil ksheira. Everybody agrees they're kosher. There's no gzeiras tikra. The gzeiras tikra is only shayach by four tfachim or more. Yesh ben abo. Oh, then the mayor poisel you the machshir. Then they have the machloikis, because that's the standard size of the boards which are used in a regular ceiling in a regular home. A person says, "What do I have to go out to the sukkah for? I'll sit in my dining room. I have the same boards on the top." That's why the mayor poisel you the machshir. Now the Rai is crystal clear, word for word, like Rav said. We just have a story that Rabbi Yehuda brings as a raya, as proof, the shitosai. Of Rabbi Yehuda, ma'isa b'shoas ha-sakana. There was a time, unfortunately, of a sakana. The sakana, says Rashi, that the goyim that were in charge were gozer al ha-mitzvois. They wanted to uproot Judaism, and therefore they made all types of evil decrees, saying that Jews are not allowed to be mekayim the mitzvahs, including the mitzvah of sukkah. To thwart them, Shavienu Nesarim, we brought such Nesarim, such boards, Shoyu ben Arbo, which were four tfachim wide, the Sichachno Gabi Marpeset, and we went out on our Marpeset, like you have today in Eretz Yisrael, on your terrace, on your porch, and I put up the Sichach of these Nesarim of four tfachim, the Yishavnu Tachtenu, we sat in them the whole sukkahs, and we were able to fool the goyim, because they assumed that the reason why we're putting up these additional boards is just to go and expand our apartments, expand our houses, to have now not only the inside of the house, but also the porch or the terrace on the outside of the house, and we put up regular boards like a regular roof. They had no idea that we were doing l'shem mitzvah sukkah. So you see that you can use such nasarim of arbo'ah for a sukkah. Is the charaya to me, Rabbi Yehuda, akasha on Reb Meir? Amruloi, so Reb Meir, and those supporting Reb Meir said to Reb Yehuda, Misham Raya, you're trying to bring me a Raya from the Marpeset. Ain't Shasa Sakana Raya. The only reason why the Chachom at that time permitted it is because there was a Sakana. Otherwise, people wouldn't be able to Mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah. Because after all, Min HaTorah, there's nothing wrong with a board of four Tvachim. It's not Mekabel Tumah, and Phil already pointed this out already 3 or 4 days ago. Why can't you just go put boards on top of the Sukkah? Sitaka, because of the Gzeiras Tikra, they said, don't do it. But that's a Gzeiras Rabbanan. Because of the Sakana, they loosened up on the Gzeiras Rabbanan. They say, let's go to the Diraisa, be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Sukkah, put up boards of four. But you have no Raya. To the normal circumstances, that was a Shasa Sakana. Tanik was in the Shmuel. I have a right to Shmuel. Now, what did Shmuel say? Shmuel says that the machloikis is Be'ein Bohen Arba, Aviyesh Ben Arba, Divi Akoil Psula. So let's see what this price says. Schoch Ben Asorim Shel Erez, Sheyesh Bohen Arba, it did have a shear of Arba, Divi Akoil Psula, everybody agrees it's possible. That's what Shmuel says. Everybody agrees. Ein barbo, when it's less than four, Remeir poisel, because Remeir says, chashin lemiuta, even though most people, when they make their ceilings, they make it out of boards out of four, but some people make out of three. So therefore, Remeir says, it's possible, Yudah Masher, Yudah says, there's no Gzeiras Tikra, it's not four tfachim wide. Umoyde Remeir, shem yesh bein nasa lenasa, kemloi nasa. Sheminiach pesel beinayinu ksheira, says the mayor. What happens if you have a whole bunch of nasarim and you want to make a kosher sukkah and you're talking about ein behen abba, even ein behen abba, the mayor holds its pasul. So the mayor says, you know, I have a good idea. Go and put down these nasarim she'ein behen abba, and in between one board and the next board, put kimoloi neser, put in additional good schach, which is shemeiniach pesel beinayim ukshera. The word pesel over here, the word pesel conjures up in our minds something which is posel, but here in fact pesel means psoilis goyrin v'yekev, which is the prescription for kosher schach. So what you do is don't put these narrow nasarim together, but rather put schach in between, and make sure that there's pestel beinayim in the middle of the sukkah. Now, what does the Gemara mean? I don't understand this. Because after all, according to Meir, according to Shmuel, and this braisa is Shmuel. Remeir holds even Ein Ben Abba'a is possible. So what is this all about? So Rashi says we're talking about a sukkah which is Bashmoinas Amois Mitzumtzamais. It's a small sukkah which is, well, it's not really so small. 8 amos is 16 feet. But mitzumtzamais means that exactly 8 amos. Why do we want to say that it's exactly 8 amos? Because we want to have the benefit of two doifen akumas from both sides. As you know, doifen akuma is up to 3.9, up to, let's say, almost 4. So if I have 8 amos mitzumtzamais, even if I had bad tzchach on the right of the top of the sukkah, and I had bad tzchach on the top of the left of the sukkah, up to 4 amos to the right, I can say that those bad tzchach is doifen akuma. Oh, the bad tzchach on the left is doifen akuma. Everything is fine, except is that I have nowhere to sit in the middle of the sukkah. I have to have some kosher tzchach. And that's what the Gemara is saying is, leave enough kosher tzchach in between 4 tzvachim from one side, 4 tzvachim from the other side. So you started off with, let's say you're starting off with the right side of the top of the sukkah. You put down one bad nasser, bad in the sense it's non-kosher schach, and then put in three or four tvachim of kosher schach. Then put in another nasser of four tvachim, which is bad schach. And then put in another four tvachim of kosher schach. And then put another nasser of bad schach. And then put in the space of four tvachim of kosher schach. And stop. We have reached now our 4 amos max. Now do the same thing from the left. Put a bad nasser of non-kosher schach, and then put in kosher schach. And then put in a bad nasser of non-kosher schach, and then put in kosher schach. Until you have, once again, at the end, 4 tvachim of kosher schach. So I'm going to have 4 tvachim of kosher schach from the right, 4 tvachim of kosher schach from the left. I'll have now 8 tvachim of kosher schach down the middle, even though to the right of the kosher schach and to the left of the kosher schach I have these bad nasorim, which are bad schach posel. Those are subsumed under the concept of doifen akuma, so that won't be an issue. The 8 tvachim of kosher schach in the middle will be kosher. And says Rashi, since we learned that according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, according to Beis Shammai, if you have Roshe Verubi Vishulchanai of 7 Tvachim, you have a kosher sukkah. Here I have 8 Tvachim, so I have a even better than 7. So I'll have a kosher sukkah. I need walls. I have the walls, because the walls from both sides are Doifan Akumis, so they reach until these 8 Tvachim of kosher sach, and it will be kosher v'yusha. So that's what the Gemara is saying, according to Remei. Even though Remeir normally passels with the non-kosher schach, say if yesh ben abba, say ein ben abba, but I have an eitzah. Put in schach bein nasser l'nasser, kemuloi nasser, and kemuloi nasser means like the width of the 4 tvachim, shemeniach pesel b'neim, ukshernol b'koshem. Moed Rabbi Yehuda, shemnosem alea nasser shehu rochem arba tvachim, ksheira, that if you put a nasser which is 4 tvachim wide, it's kosher, and yishenim tachtov, and you cannot go and sleep under it, and once again we're talking about that the 4 tvachim was on subsumed within the arba amos of doifen akuma, because remember this price is going according to Shmuel, and according to Shmuel if you have a nasser of arba'a kuli alma moida, that it's possible. And here you're saying that according to Behuda you can have a nasser of arba'a tvachim which is kosher. How is it kosher? If it's to the side of the sukkah, it's subsumed in the doifen akuma, it's kosher, but don't sleep under it because you're going to be sleeping under a wall and not sleeping under kosher schach. Okay, final shikla yimar itmar. Here we're talking once again about these boards. Let's assume we're talking about a board of 4, which, according to Shmuel, according to everybody, is possible, and according to Rav, at least according to Meir, is possible. I have an idea, Rabbi Isai. Instead of lying the board flat, let's put the board into the side. The thickness of the board, l'mashal, was only 1 or 2 tvachim. Will that kosherize this schach? Putting it as a flat board, no good. 4 tvachim wide. But I'm going to go and turn it to the side, and insert it nicely, like a sideboard, and that's only one tefach wide, a two tefachim wide. The thickness of a board is not four tefachim. It would be very, very wide then. No, no. Come on. So it's only one or two tefachim. Does that work? Itmar hafchan al tzidein Rav Huna Omar psula. No good. It's possible. Rav Chizkiya Rabba Rav Huna Amri Ksheira. It's kosher. So we have here Rav Huna says possible. Rav Chizkiya and Rabba Rav Huna say it's kosher. So now Rav Chizkiya and Rabba Rav Huna want to find someone that agrees with them. So Ikla Rav Nachman the Surah. Rav Nachman came for a visit to Surah. Oyle Gabe Rav Chizkiya Rabba Rav Huna. And they asked him this shaila, Amrilei, Hafkan al Tidei Ma, what would be the din? They were hoping, of course, that Rav Nachman would side with them and say it's Ksheira. Guess what? Amalu Psula! You know why it's possible? Nasu Kishpudin Shel Matches. Even though it's to the side now, it's no longer four wide, it's only one tefach wide. But this four tefachin board becomes now a Chetza of Psul. It is now a non-kosher board. You can turn this board and put it on its head. It makes no difference. Once we're talking about Nasarim of four tvachim, whichever way you place it, it's as if it became a shpud of machis, as if it's made out of metal. And we know that metal boards or metal shpudim, spits out of metal, those are non-kosher stach. So here too, even though you put it on the side, if it's four tvachim wide when you put it flat, non-kosher. They came back, Rav Chizkiya and Rabbi Rav Huna reported this to Rav Huna. Remember, Rav Huna also said that it's possible. Amru Rav Huna, Amri Lechu, Amri Kavasi, didn't I tell you, you're wasting your time going to Rav Nachman? He's going to hold just like me, and in fact, he holds like me. Amru Leisa, they said to Rav Huna, Umi Amalun Mar Taima, Fli Kablinan Mine, had you explained, like Rav Nachman said, that Nasu Kishbudin Shel Matches, then we wouldn't have asked Rav Nachman. But you didn't give us any explanation. You just said, Azay is this. That's the way it is. So therefore, Rav Huna, that's why we felt we have to go to Rav Nachman to find out the answer. Amalahu. So Rav Huna answered them back. Did you ask me for a reason? You just heard Psula. You didn't say, why is it possible? If you would have asked me, I would have told you. It's because Nasu Kishbun Shalmachas. But instead of asking me, you went to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said the reason why it's possible is because of Kishpudin Shel Matches, I would have told you the same thing. So you just wasted your time. But bottom line is, it's possible. Zokti Gemara, who do we agree with? Lame Messiah, let's bring a right. We have now a number, this is a Braisa, which tells us a number of non-kosher sukkahs. Number one, Eina Machzekes Kedei Roish Shemeru V'Shulchanai. It's such a small sukkah, it's not even 7x7. Or, number two, Ashnifitz of Bapirza Kineshizdakir Bogdi Bebas Roish. There's such a big hole in the wall of the sukkah that a Gdi can just jump through the hole, and therefore that destroys the integrity of the wall. I don't have three defanois. Or he put Nasser on top that was wide three tvachim. I'm sorry, four tvachim. Even though he only placed it in three tvachim, is psula. Now, I don't understand that last case. The board is four tvachim wide, but he only put it in three tvachim. What does that mean? Hey, chidami, what's the pshat in the braisa? I assume the pshat is, lav kigoyin shehofchan al tzidein. That's what it means. That even though it was four wide, he turned it to the side, and to the side it was only three, or only two. But still it's fossil. Why? Because we have a board of four. It's a raya to Rav Huna, a raya to Rav Nachman. No, that's not the case. That he went and put this board at the very edge of the sukkah, where three of the four tvachim are on top of the sukkah, one tefach is sticking out of the sukkah. Three tvachim are in, the apichad the bar, and one is protruding from the outside. Okay, so what's the halacha now? What does the Gemara mean? So Rashi tells us of a Gemara that we're going to have later on in another few days, that Pesel Yoytz Ben Asukah, if it's a Sukkah Ksheira, is kosher. Let's assume you have a regular, normal, beautiful Sukkah, beautiful size, beautiful dimensions, everything is great, and you have sticking out bamboo sticks in the front of the sukkah. The sukkah only has, let's say, three walls. The fourth wall is totally open like a Pesach, but that's fine. You only need three walls. The fourth side is totally open. And sticking out from the opening on top, you know, hey, look up there. There's schach, the bamboo sticks are sticking out beyond the sukkah. The Gemara will tell us in Daf Yud Tes that what happens if the sukkah is full of people and there's no room for me? I can stand underneath those bamboo sticks which are sticking out, protruding from the sukkah. I can stand under there and eat as if I'm standing in the sukkah itself. Because the pesel hayotze min ha-sukkah, the pesel meaning the schach which comes out, ninka sukkah, that brings with it an extension of the walls of the sukkah. It's as if I'm sitting or eating in the sukkah itself. Just like we say that by a kosher sukkah, we're going to say the same thing now by a non-kosher sukkah. What do you mean a non-kosher sukkah? That if you have now a board of four tvachim, which is at the very edge of the sukkah, three over the sukkah, one sticking out, technically three tvachim is kosher. The problem is that this nasar is four tvachim. It doesn't matter. The fourth tefach is sticking out. It's not over the sukkah. No, it does matter. Because pesel yoytzim in the sukkah has the same status like the sukkah itself. So it's as if all four tefachim are on top of the sukkah. And that's what the Braisa says. That if I have this nasir of four tefachim, even though lehichlis letoich, it's only covering three tefachim of the sukkah itself, because one is protruding, it's possible. The bottom line is, but we're not talking about a case of taking a four and turning it to the side, hofchan al tzideyan, and therefore we have no raya raboisai to that halacha from this praisa. So it blives a machlokes whether hofchan al tzideyan, whether it's kosher or not kosher. Any questions, raboisai?
Yes.